Let's take our Bibles together this morning to the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, as we go through this Gospel together on Sunday mornings. John chapter 8, we've come to verse 37. And of course, Jesus Christ is going back and forth with the Jews here, and he's going to discuss with them and they with him about who the Father is, who their Father is. And that's a question that should be answered by every individual. Who is your Father? I'm not talking about your physical father. They're going to get into that discussion, not only about themselves as Israelites, but also about Jesus, who his physical father was. And they're not going to understand these things. But then the discussion will turn to who is your spiritual father. John chapter 8, verse 37, we begin to read. The Bible says, I know, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The Lord will bless his word. Let's pray. And would you ask God to speak to your heart through this passage of Scripture? Father, we're thankful for the Bible that we have before us, but we pray that it would not just be in front of our eyes, but it would sink down into our hearts. May we consider these things this morning, even as we would have if we had been there that day, Jesus, when you spoke them upon this earth. We pray that you would gain our attention and the attention of every heart. And please, Lord, help us to answer some of these questions that you ask in this passage. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. There are really three fathers that are presented here in this text. First of all, the question is Abraham your father? The second is God your father? And then the third question would be, is the devil your father? Now, so that all encompasses the big question, who's your father? Now, when Jesus Christ begins to talk, he tells them in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed. That's what they told him back in verse 33. And he acknowledged that, yes, you're Abraham's seed, but just because you're Abraham's seed doesn't mean that Abraham is your father. Now, that's really a semantics with words, but it does mean something, because when we talk about people's fathers, you know, you've heard like father, like son. It should be like father, like child. And he said in verse 38, Jesus did, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. In other words, this is the truth. Whoever your father is going to dictate what kind of person you are. Now, you know, my son has had to belabor many times about the fact that it's obvious who his father is, and we've seen that in people's lives, how, you know, a child, whether a daughter or a son, has got so many characteristics of the family, but that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way it is. And Jesus said, you know, my Father and I speak that which I've seen with my Father. In other words, my Father and I are on the same page. You understand? Whatever you see about God the Father is what you see about God the Son. Whatever you know about God as the Father is what you're going to see through the life and words of Jesus Christ. And he said, so it's very obvious who my Father is, and it's sort of obvious who your Father is, because you're speaking and you're doing things that correspond with the family that you're related to. Would you drop down in verse 41? Ye do the deeds of your Father. Do you see that? Now, I want to say this. If you've got a godly Father, you ought to follow his example. And if God in heaven is your Father, that ought to be clearly understood from your life. You ought not degrade the family name or the family heritage. And of course, in the Word of God, and the Jews were very much into the fact that they needed to keep the traditions of their father and live like the family was supposed to live. And that's not a bad thing. I think one of the evils of our day is that a generation is turning from everything that the previous generation has told them to be good and right and decent. And that's a very unwise thing to do. Because the Bible says if you got a godly father, you ought to live like your father lives. You ought to believe like your father believed. That's the text that Jesus is putting before them. I'm living like I'm living. I'm saying what I'm saying is because of my Father. And you are living in a certain way, and you are saying a certain thing because of who your Father is. And then they begin to argue with the Lord. Would you look at verse 37? He says, Abraham's seed, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. They begin to brag about their physical birth. Can I say this first of all? That your physical birth is not going to help you any with God. Who your mother and dad is not going to merit anything with the God of heaven. Every one of us have to meet God ourselves. It's you and the Lord and what you've done with Him. Doesn't matter who your physical parentage is. Doesn't matter if you were born in the United States of America. Doesn't matter if you had a really godly mother or godly dad or people that knew God. The question is, do you know God? The question is, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? They say, Abraham is our father. Well, you know, the Muslims could say that as well, right? Just because Abraham is your father, that's not going to merit with God, because the two huge religions that go in two opposite directions both have Abraham as their parentage. And they have different gods. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not the God of Ishmael, and not the God of the Arabs, and not the God of the Muslim world. Two different gods, but both have Abraham as their father. That does not mean that you're right just because of your birth. Then he says in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, watch it, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. If you're really related to Abraham, then you ought to live a certain way. And I don't see anything about Abraham that corresponds to the way that you live your life. He's going to tell them later on, you know, I know Abraham. You know, Jesus, of course, they're going to take up stones to stone him at the end of this chapter because of that. He said, you know, I had a relationship with Abraham. I knew Abraham. I talked to him. But you're nothing like Abraham. There's nothing about your life that corresponds to Abraham. Why would you call him your father? I would say this. You know, if nothing about your life corresponds to God, I wouldn't call God my father. I wouldn't blame that. I wouldn't put that on his family. I wouldn't put that mark against the family of God and the parentage of God Almighty. But he says, if Abraham were your father, ye would do the works of Abraham. And the works of Abraham were very different from their works. He said in verse 37, ye seek to kill me. You see that, verse 37? Drop down to verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Okay, you say you're Abraham's children. Well, Abraham never tried to kill somebody that told him the truth. I mean, Abraham always responded well to the truth. I mean, you find God speaking to Abraham, and even when it was hard to swallow, Abraham said, okay, If this is the truth, I'm going to follow it. Lord comes to Abraham and says, you know, get thee up from your kindred, from your father's house, and leave this land. He said, okay. And Jesus is saying to them, you know, Abraham, when he was confronted with truth that was hard to swallow, he had faith enough to receive it instead of reject it. And that's not the way you're living. When you hear something that's difficult, when you hear something that goes against your life, or you hear something that goes against what you want to perceive to be true, you're rejected and you're not receiving my words. Abraham didn't want to kill anybody. Why are you wanting to kill somebody? And you say you're Abraham's children? If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And the works of Abraham was not just tithing and not just sacrificing, but it was faith in what God said. Abraham never got mad at the truth. You know, Abraham even got rebuked by a heathen because he was wrong. You remember the story with Abraham and Sarah, and he comes to the land of Gerar. And King Abimelech there takes Sarah into his own house because they're playing this little charade that, you know, Sarah's my sister and we're not really married because Abraham's afraid and he doesn't want to get hurt and all that. And so she's taken into the king's palace there, and God gets mad and smites, you know, the people of Gerar and Abimelech's house. And Abimelech finds out, hey, God's mad at us because we've got this man's wife. And he comes to Abraham and he says, why didn't you tell me this was your wife? Why are you playing a charade? All of us are in trouble with God because you're not being honest. And he rebukes. You know what? Abraham never got mad at Abimelech. Abraham could have said, you know, I'm going to be the father of the people of God. And you're a heathen king. Who are you to tell me anything or to correct me or to rebuke me? Abraham didn't do that. Abraham was a man that was sensitive to what God had to say. Abraham was a man that had faith in what God said, even if it was against him, and he never got mad at somebody to kill him. You don't see anger in Abraham's life. You can study it over. The only time he got, now he did put it on the king of Sodom or back there and when they had a big battle. But all that was for God and all that was for his family. He never carried grudges. He wasn't a bloodthirsty man, but they want Christ dead. And Jesus tells them, is Abraham really your father? Because you don't look a thing like him. You don't believe like him. You don't act like him. Is Abraham your father? And then the Lord Jesus continues in verse 41, and he says, you do the deeds of your father. Now, he didn't tell them who their father was, but he says, it's certainly not Abraham, and it's certainly not God. You've got some other father. You've got some other family that you have family ties to. You do the deeds of your father. Watch him get angry. Watch him get angry at Jesus. I tell you what, church, if Jesus Christ was here today, they would be angry at him today. They would want to crucify him again because he just tells the truth too straight. He tells the truth just like every man needs to hear it. And he would be the most gracious preacher that the world ever saw if he came here today, but he would be the straightest preacher the world ever saw. And they hated him, and he's just telling them the truth. Look at your life. Are you really like Abraham? Is he really your father? Watch what they say. Verse 41. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Okay, maybe we'll move. We're not gonna claim some other parentage. We claimed Abraham. You shot that down. I tell you what, God's our Father, and the problem is you don't even know who your daddy is. They said to Jesus, "We be not born of fornication." You see that in your Bible? Matter of fact, I'd like for you to just underline that either in your Bible or in your mind. Because we live in a day today where that is no big deal. But that is a very big deal in the Word of God, and it's a very big deal to God. And this was the height of all insults that anybody that it could be insulted with. And Jesus Christ is insulted in the greatest way. They said, you know, you were born of fornication. You know what they're condemning him of or accusing him of? They're accusing Joseph and Mary of coming together before they got married. And so you're an illegitimate child. That's what they're saying to Jesus Christ. We be not born of fornication. We have a good family line. All of our mothers and dads were married before we were born. before we were conceived, and you're illegitimate. You're born of fornication. You're an illegitimate child. You were, as the Bible says in another place, he talks about people born of whoredom. You were born from an immoral circumstance. We be not born of fornication. That word in the Bible, you know how what society does? They take a word in the Bible where God's trying to emphasize something to be so serious and so important, and they make it into a curse word. That's what they've done with hell. The world doesn't want to think about hell, so they made it a curse word. So it's just a byword that nobody thinks about the seriousness of it's a real place. And they just throw the word hell around like it's just, but there's a real place. God's got another word in there. When he talks about condemnation, he talks about being damned. That's a very serious, sober word in the Bible. And what's man done? He's taken it and made a curse word out of it. So it's no big deal. There's another word in that Bible. It goes right along with being born of fornication. The word bastard is a biblical word to show the seriousness of doing things outside of God's laws. But what's the world done with that word? Same thing. They made a curse word out of it. And it's no big deal. Let me tell you something. It is a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's a big deal to live with somebody and not be married. It's a big deal to have relationship outside of marriage. It's a big deal for a woman to get pregnant, and she got pregnant and she wasn't married. That's a big deal. God does have mercy, and he has grace, and he has forgiveness, but that is a wicked, heinous sin, and that's the sin that they approached Jesus with, and they said, "You're born of fornication. Who's your dad if you want to talk to us about who our father is? You didn't even have a dad when you were conceived." And yet they knew not that God was his father, and that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and that Mary was just as pure as the driven snow, and she was that virgin that God used to bring forth the Son of God, and all that was pure. But they degrade it in their society. Isn't it strange how today all those things that used to be, even the devil's children acknowledge the wickedness of being born of fornication. The devil's children. We've got people today that applaud that. And I'm telling you what, church, our society is being torn apart at the fabric. And what we are teaching our young people is, if we don't make an issue of that, we're teaching them that that's okay, and that's not okay. You say, well, what if somebody got saved after that or got forgiven? That's great. But we're not going to glorify that wickedness. Who's your dad, Jesus? And they tell him, "We have one Father, even God." Is God really your Father? They claim God as their father in verse 41, just as they claim Abraham as their father in these verses. But just because you claim that God is your father, your words don't make it so. God was not their father. My question to all of us this morning, you're sitting in church, but that doesn't mean that God is your father. And just because you say that God is your father does not make it so. And just because the Jews declared that God was their father did not make it so. And you can say, "All the our fathers which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, amen, morning and night." And that doesn't make God your father. God is not everybody's father. That's the whole point of this text. God's not everybody's father. One of the lies of this world and of religion mostly is that God is everyone's father and we're all God's children. That is a lie. Or Jesus Christ is a fool for saying what he is saying here in this passage. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. Now he begins to talk to them and says, look at verse 42. Is God your father? Let's see. Let's take a test. Let's take a DNA test. That's something big today, right? Let's take a DNA test, see who your daddy is. Jesus Christ gives a test here to find out who their father is. Number one, look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father," look at your Bible, "ye would love me, For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He said, if God is your father, you're going to be like your father, and and God loves me. Look at chapter, we've already gone over this ground, but look at chapter 3. Hold your finger there. John chapter 3, verse 35. The first litmus test of whether or not God's your father, God's children love Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 35, the Father, what does it say? Loveth the Son. Look at chapter 5 of John. John 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son. Now, if God is your Father, then you're going to relate to what He relates to. What is about God is going to be what's about you. What's in His life is what's going to be in your life. Like father, like children. And Jesus said this, if God were your Father, ye would love me, because God the Father loves me. And this is the truth. If you're a child of God, God Almighty, listen now, implants love in your heart. You know, the Bible does say love is of God. For everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God, for God is love. You know, you don't know love outside of Jesus Christ. That means all the little TV shows and all the little movies and all the stuff on the internet about what love is and all that. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a physical thing. Love is of God. And you know what? Before I got saved, I couldn't even love anybody. I could be emotional. I could be driven in different areas and lust, but before I got saved, I couldn't love anybody because love is of God. Now watch this. The Bible said in Romans 5:5 that after we were justified by faith, that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what happened to me one day? One day I acknowledged I was a sinner before God. I called out to Jesus Christ, and God Almighty not only put eternal life in me, He put the Holy Ghost in me, but He put the love of God in me. And I could no more not love Jesus Christ than I could change the fact that those two people are my mother and father. It's implanted inside of me. Jesus said, if you're God's children, you'd love me. Amen. Now just stop just a minute. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you really love Jesus Christ? It's easy for anybody to say today that I'm a child of God or God's my father. But the question is, take the DNA test. Do you love Jesus Christ? How many people that claim to be religious, they don't love the Lord? You say, well, preacher, yeah, everybody loves the Lord. Oh, no. You know what happens when you love somebody? You know what? I tell you what. So many people today, they're in love. They're in love or infatuated and in love with, you know, the beautiful and the strong and the all the celebrities and all the stars, and people think about them all the time. Amen. There are people in this state that think more about a quarterback than they think about Jesus. Amen. And it passed across. Wait. I got to see this. Saban speaking. Well, I know he's the greatest coach, but I mean, come on now. Do you stop and say, man, Jesus is speaking out? Come on, preacher. I want to see Jesus. How easily people say that God is their Father when they can't even pass the test that I love Jesus Christ. You are not a child of God if you don't love Jesus Christ. I don't care how many times you've been to church. I don't care how many rosaries you prayed or prayers you've said or who your parents are or what your history is in your life. If you don't love Jesus Christ, you need to get saved. Amen. Now, do you love Him? Does He mean anything to you? How is it that people can walk away from God and walk away from the Bible and walk away from church and walk away from somebody they love so much? Do they really love Him? If God was your Father, ye would love me. Oh, our hearts should beat for Christ. Our heart should be in love with Christ. Because if you're a child of God, that love is down in there. And I can't help but love Him because He loved me first. And He's got my heart. Do I always love Him as I ought? No. But I can't get away from loving Him. Because I'm His child. I couldn't quit loving my dad. It doesn't matter how feeble he might get. It doesn't matter. Because he's my father. I love him. Jesus said, if God was your father, you would love me. God's children love Jesus Christ. Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Then Jesus says something else to them. He said in verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? He said, you won't listen to my word. Look at verse 37. He said at the end of the verse, because my word hath no place in you. He said, there's not a place in your life for the word of God. You've made no room in your heart for the Bible. You've made no room in your heart for my words that I'm preaching and giving to you. The Word of God has no place in you. Religion has a place in you, but the Word of God has no place. You're not interested in the Word of God. You don't want to hear my Word. My Word has no place in you. You cannot hear my Word. Look at it again, verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You don't believe my word. You don't hear my word. My word has no place in you. 47, verse 47. Here's second DNA test. He that is of God. Are you of God? Are you born of God? Is God your father? Well, here's the second DNA test. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You see what he said? They are bragging about their religion. They're bragging about all that they've done. But Jesus says, if you were a child of God, you would listen to my word. You would listen to the word of God. He that is of God heareth God's word. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people do you really think are a child of God? Let me just flip it around. How many people really listen to the words of God? They really hear the Bible. They really listen to what Jesus has to say. You say, preacher, are you saying everybody that don't hear God's words aren't saved? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I know people can get messed up in their life and they get twisted in their heart and in their mind, but that does not betray the fact that Jesus said, if you were of God, you would hear my words. You say, well, as a child or this, that, and the other. Yep, but we're talking about God being your father. Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you hear the Word of God? Is there a place for the Word of God in you? And this world that could care less about that book that we hold in our hand this morning, and this religious world that would rather have a show that have the Bible and the words of God taught to them and preached to them. I tell you what, one of the proofs, one of the DNA patterns that I am of God is that I want His Word. He that is of God heareth God's words. Now let me ask you. Do you hear the Word of God? You say, preacher, I'm in church this morning. Man, there's a lot of people go to church and I don't know what they heard, but they didn't hear that. I've got through preaching sometime and people have come up to me and said, you know that you preached about, and they tell me something I didn't even say. They're talking about some other message somewhere. Are you tuned in? You see, God's children, they're tuned in to that word. You know why? Because that word's a part of your birth. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. And one way we know that we have a society that knows nothing about God is because they're totally uninterested in the words of God. Are you God's children? Are you God's child? God's children except Christ's words, and God's words is God your Father. Now you say, preacher, what if my life doesn't match all that up? Hold your finger there. How do I become a child of God then? You've given me the warnings. You've given me DNA tests, but how do I become a child of God? Turn back. He started the book about that, John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 12, John 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In John chapter 3, this all prefaces our text here. In John chapter 3, you know, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he looks at Nicodemus in verse 3 of John 3, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he's talking to him about birth. He said in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. At the end of verse 8, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Have you had a spiritual birth? The only way to get God as your Father is to have a spiritual birthday. The day that you, in repentance and faith, turn to Christ from your heart. Look at Galatians. Hold your finger in John 8. Galatians. Galatians deals with that fact of God being our Father and how God becomes our Father, especially to a bunch of Gentiles who weren't born in any family to claim any relationship to God. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 26, watch how it just matches our text in this argument in John 8. About who your Father is. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. Every Christian ought to know. Have it memorized. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Period. I'm only a child of God. God's only my Father. If I've personally put faith in Him from my heart. Not my daddy's faith. Not my mom's faith. Not my denomination's faith. But my heart's faith. Verse 29, look how it corresponds to John 8, Galatians 3, 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye what? You see that? Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. I'm still in Galatians 3. Would you look at chapter or verse 15? Galatians 3, 15. Galatians 3, 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Go back a little bit more. Galatians 3, 6. Watch it now. Galatians 3, who's your Father? Is God your Father? This is the only way it'll happen. Galatians 3, 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Watch verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the what? The children of Abraham. That goes all the way back to our discussion in John 8. Jesus said, Abraham's not your father. You don't believe me. You don't believe God. You've never put faith from your heart in God. You just believe your religion. You just believe yourself. But you don't believe the Savior. You've not trusted the Savior for your righteousness. You're trusting yourself for your righteousness. But he says to a bunch of Gentiles that were outcasts, that the Jews wouldn't even shake hands with, that if you, anybody in this room, in this building this morning, you take a trip over to Jerusalem and you walk down the streets of Jerusalem, I've done it, and you try to shake a hand with an Orthodox Jew and watch him look at your hand. He won't even touch you because you're an untouchable. You're a heathen. You're in the wrong family. You know what God says? I tell you what, you Jews that have rejected my son, you're out. And these bunch of heathens, these bunch of people that didn't know God, didn't know anything about God, they're going to trust my son. They're going to believe in my son. They put faith in my son. I'm going to put them in my family and they're Abraham's children. Shoo. Rest of you, shoo. And let me ask you a question. Is God your Father? From your heart, have you ever really put faith in Christ? Have you ever quit believing in yourself? Have you ever come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trusted Him as your Savior? Is God your Father? We're not all God's children. Some people will not believe and bow the knee and bow their heart to the Jesus of the Savior of this Bible, and therefore they're not God's children. Go back to John 8. There's one more question. Is Abraham your father? Is God your father? And Jesus takes it one step further, and he says in verse 44, he already told them that they did the deeds of their father, but he didn't tell them who their father was. Now he's going to make it plain to them. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. How do you think that sat with them? We're Abraham's children. God is our father. Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, no. I know your daddy. I've talked to him a lot, and you look just like him. You look just like him. You act like him. You talk like him. You part your hair like him. Everything about you is just like your father. And I tell you, your father is. Jesus said, your father's the devil. He said, let me do a little litmus test on you. Let me do a little DNA test on you. I did one on you about God and you didn't pass. He said, you're of your father, the devil, verse 44, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He said, I can tell your father's the devil because what he wants to do is what you want to do. What's in his heart, what's in your heart. We have a world that is living by the lusts of the devil while they claim God as their God. Jesus said, doesn't work that way. You can go to church house, but if you live by the lusts of the devil, he says, you got a relationship there. Now, I know every one of us have a body. And that body doesn't want to do right. That lust of the flesh wants to do wrong. This body is not just a carnal body and a body of man, but it's infused with the devil's desire. But I tell you what, church, if you've been born again, if you're a child of God, there's a different desire on the inside. I'm not saying that nobody in here ever desires to do the lust of the flesh, but I'm saying that if you've been born again, you've got another desire on the inside, and when this lust of the flesh gets active, there's something on the inside that cringes. There's something on the inside that hurts. And people that can sin with both hands and give themselves over to the lusts of the devil are people that somehow do not know about God because they're never concerned about it. They're never bothered about it. They're never convicted about it. They can live their life and sin with both hands and they have no problem. And God said, that's not the way God's children react. Something in a sheep that don't want to be dirty. And there's something in a pig that runs straight for the water in the mire. Jesus said, I've watched you. You got the lust of your father. He says, the lust of your father we do. He says, second DNA test. Verse 44, in the middle of the verse, he was a murderer. You see, they want to kill him. They're bloodthirsty. He says, you know, you're just like your dad. Your daddy was a murderer. He had blood on his mind when he came in the garden to deceive Eve. He wanted to kill Eve and Adam and their babies and all humanity. He's a murderer. He's a life taker, a life stealer. And the first murder in the Bible, the first physical murder in the Bible, who was it? Cain. You know why Cain murdered Abel? He was the devil's boy. Read 1 John. He didn't get that from God. He didn't get that heart from God. All that hatred on the inside. And that's why John says, the same writer in 1 John, he said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Because that's not God's heart on the inside. And you Jews have this hatred. You Jews have this murderous spirit. You want to kill me? That's what the devil has in his heart. And he's your father. He says a third thing. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He says number three. And abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. He abode. Now when we talk about abiding, that's where you live. Jesus says, you know, I know where the devil lives and I know where he doesn't live. He doesn't live in the truth. He abode not in the truth. In other words, you know, the devil, before he fell, he was up in heaven. He was in the truth. He was in heaven, the place of truth. He was around the truth. God himself, right there as he covered. But he didn't want to stay there. He didn't want to live in the truth. He didn't want to live in the light. He wanted away from the light. He wanted away from the truth. And he said, I'm not going to stay here. I'm leaving. And I tell you what, I'm asking you a question. Do you feel at home in the truth? A child of the devil can never feel at home in the truth. It's not where he wants to live. He doesn't want to live in the pages of the Bible. He wants to live in the pages of his own life, his own mind, his own lust. And Jesus said, the devil's your father because you don't want to have anything to do with the truth. You're not interested in the truth. You're not interested in living the life of truth. You're not interested in hearing the truth. You're not interested in submitting yourself to the truth. You don't want to live in the pages of the Bible. That's because you're the devil's child. Wow, that's straight. The last thing he says. In verse 44, he says, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus says this, you can tell if the devil is your father because Satan's children live lives of lust. Satan's children are murderers. Satan's children cannot live in the truth. And Satan's children are all liars just like their father. You know, the Bible says all men are liars. And that's not just for the male species. That's humanity. We're all liars. But you know what a liar can do? A liar can come to God, and just like Jesus Christ healed a man of his leprosy, he can heal you of your lying. Just like God could touch the eyes of a blind man, he can touch the heart of a lying, deceiving person trying to get away from the truth of God. And Jesus says, you people are liars. And I remind you what Revelation 21 says, when God gives the list, and you know, people, so, you know, you ask the modern person, and nobody thinks anybody deserves to go to hell. Well, maybe a mass murder. Here's what God says. I tell you who belongs in hell, all the devil's children. And he says, just so you'll know who the devil's children is, he's a liar and he's the father of it. And because your life is only a lie, you're telling on who your father is. And in Revelation 21, he gives that list of everybody in hell in the lake of fire, and he ends it and says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You said, preacher, you said anybody that lies goes to hell. I'm saying if you don't get to Jesus Christ and put your faith in him, your lie is enough to condemn you and make you guilty and associate you with the devil. Jesus said, who's your father? Do you know the truth is all of us talk like our father. All of us act like our father. Who is your father this morning? Is it God? Do you love Jesus? Do you love the truth? Or are you in church today, and if Jesus was here, he would say, I know who your dad is. It's not God.